Breaking things is my job, Lauren. And then as Jesus walked among the disciples for 40 days after that resurrection, teaching them and opening up the Word of God so that they understood much more than they ever could have understood naturally because of that. And yet, of Jesus still telling them in Luke and in Acts 1, where Jesus is saying, don't go anywhere yet and don't do anything yet. Go to Jerusalem and sit. Go to Jerusalem and wait. Because until my Spirit comes, you don't have power. So let's, in verse 7 of Acts 1, Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, because they wanted to know when he was coming to reign. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so one of the things that I want us to just spend a few minutes looking at quickly is the purposes of this power. So Jesus promised the Holy Spirit will bring you power. And here in verse 8 of Acts 1, he says, this power now equips you to be witnesses. And we've talked about this before, so we'll talk about it one more time. We're going to look at some of what the Holy Spirit does in a variety of ways among us. But this is one thing that Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to equip every single believer for. Every single believer is now powerfully equipped to be a witness. That every single believer is now powerfully equipped to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. And not every believer is equipped or even called to do it in the same way. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. Which was read for us last week, but let's go to that chapter 2 part. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. They rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And it goes on to describe that there were Jews here in town to celebrate the Passover, Jews from countries all over the place that had come. And as the Holy Spirit filled these men and women who had been waiting, 120 men and women had been waiting on Jesus' promise of power. They already understood truth. Jesus had taught them truth. They already understood the reality of Jesus' resurrection. They had talked to him and seen it. But now they are equipped with power so that their witness will be effective. Now, on this day, we see sort of the obvious, miraculous effectiveness, because now all these Jews from all over the world who are in Jerusalem for Passover are hearing the gospel, are hearing the truth of Jesus Christ spoken in their own language. And I wish we could go time-wise into more detail, but you know what happened. And we get to stand back in amazement and go, what an amazing way, what an bizarre way, I'll even say, for God to get things started. Because at this moment, the church is born. So Jesus had disciples already. But now by the indwelling of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit coming to work in and through those disciples, they are now the church carrying out the commission that we read last week that Jesus gave at the end of Matthew. Go, make disciples, teach, baptize, bring them to me, and I'll never leave you. I'll always be with you. So the church is now born in this miraculous moment when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. And on that day, if you flip over to verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. So then those who had received his word, because after all those individuals speaking in different languages, then Peter preaches one sermon, And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And I've made this contrast before, but it's really interesting. Jesus promised the disciples, he said, after I send my Spirit, after I leave and I send my Spirit into you, you're going to do greater things than I did. And I think a lot of times we want that to be the miraculous stuff. Well, if Jesus raised people from the dead, I want to raise people from the dead. If Jesus healed the lame, I want to heal the lame. And you know what? As we were talking about in Sunday school. If you weren't there this morning, should have been there. But as we were talking about Sunday school this morning, that the most miraculous thing God can do is transform a life. And Jesus here in his ministry has preached the truth for 3.5 years. And most of the people who heard him rejected him. Most of them. And here Peter, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, the same Peter who ran and hid when Jesus was arrested, the same Peter who swore up and down he didn't even know Jesus, that Peter is now willing to risk that same outcome of death for himself because he stands up in public and preaches one sermon. And out of that one sermon, 3,000 men and women come to accept Jesus Christ. Now, because it's Jerusalem and they're still there just 50 days and a couple more, 53 days from when this crowd was calling for Jesus' crucifixion, there had to be some men and women in this crowd of 3,000 accepting Christ who were in that crowd saying, crucify him. I think that's awesome. I think that's amazing. If Jesus could pray for forgiveness for the people that were actually crucifying him, what another beauty of Jesus' grace that he's saying, I heard you yelling for me to be crucified, and guess what? I was. But I was crucified for you. Come on in. Join the party. Become part of the church. Become part of the family. So that there is no history, there is no black mark on our records that can stand against us and disqualify us from receiving the grace of Jesus Christ. So some of the same people who cried for Jesus' crucifixion are now crying in joy that they have received forgiveness of sins because 53 days after their demand for his death, they are now profiting in salvation from his death. So Peter has just done something that Peter the man never could have done. We read last week that the Holy Spirit, it's in John 16, that the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts people of sin. It wasn't Peter's persuasiveness. So now Peter's indwelt by the Spirit, and that same Spirit is speaking to the hearts of thousands, and they're saying yes. And so this is something that you and I get to recognize. Father, I'm called, and in that sense, it is miraculous. It may not look miraculous. I actually had a dream the other night that I was speaking fluent Spanish. When I was 5, I spoke fluent Spanish. In the dream, I actually thought I was using real Spanish. I don't know if I was or not, but I woke up feeling like I'd been using real fluent Spanish. That could almost be naturally possible. Well, you sort of remembered your childhood. But if I spoke Japanese, if I conveyed the gospel to somebody else in their native Bulgarian, that would be miraculous. But what God is trying to get our vision on here is the miraculous thing is not how I do it. The miraculous thing is I've now transformed you into a son or daughter of God, and you are equipped to tell the truth about me to someone else. And you could just do it in your own native Texan, and believe it or not, God can still work through that to bring someone else to Christ. In fact, that's his favorite language. Just saying. Hebrew, Greek, Texan. It's his third favorite language. But that recognition that you and I have power, and what the enemy tries to do frequently, and you know this is true, I know it's frequently the enemy goes, you're not powerful enough. You're not good enough. You don't have enough history with God. There is some way that the Holy Spirit is saying, not you. And that part of our believing God is if I know Jesus Christ, if I've simply put my faith in Jesus Christ, I now have power to be a witness And the miraculous thing isn't that I will do it in some flashy way. The miraculous thing is that the Holy Spirit working in me will be speaking to that heart. And now God can actually bring eternal life to another human being through my simple words surrendered to Him. And we've also talked about this before, but it doesn't even have to be today. I speak some words to someone, and that plants a seed, and then someone else speaks another word, and it waters that seed, and someone else speaks another word, and it gets rid of some of the weeds that are trying to choke out that seed, and on and on and on. You and I have a role to play in being faithful witnesses in a way that touches the life of someone else. And I've been a believer for 56 years. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. When I see somebody get saved, when I see somebody pray to receive Jesus Christ, it's still miraculous to me. Because I think, how odd, how unexpected, how inhuman for someone to believe this and be embedded in the world and then put their faith in Jesus Christ. That somebody came to him and said, hey, God came to the planet and died for your sins. And he wants to forgive you if you'll put your faith in that death. And then a modern 21st century human being says, I'm going to believe in that. That's amazing. And it means eternal life has now been accomplished for that person because the Holy Spirit did something that we would not humanly predict. So you and I have to keep growing in our agreement with God. Father, I personally am equipped to be a witness. I might not be an evangelist. I might not be the one who scoops them up by the thousands. But I'm absolutely called and equipped to just tell someone else the truth about what I know. Now, I want us to look at another part of this. We're called to be witnesses. Let's go to the passage that was read this morning in Ephesians. Because now that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, He's working on quite a few things. So after that very eloquent description at the beginning of Ephesians 4, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one church, one body, he goes into this down in verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And he talks about no longer being tossed around and being confused about the truth. Drop to verse 16. That here in Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So one of the things that we now get to recognize is that we're not just called with power to be witnesses. We're called with power to build each other up. And in a particular way, to build each other up into the full maturity of Christ. And I like what he says here when he says, what every joint supplies. You never know that biblically you're a joint. Well, there you are. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Because he adds this too. Starting in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And in the same way, he's saying that everyone is a part. Everyone is some functioning part of the body. Whether it's a joint, whether it's a muscle, but every member of the church is a member of the functioning body of Jesus Christ. And notice what he said there, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And he uses a phrase that in the Greek, when he says each one, he's saying all of them. So that anyone who is in Christ is one of the gifted ones. So if you've ever put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit to play some significant role in building up the church into the fuller maturity of Jesus Christ. Now, and Stephen or nobody else put me up to this, but a little earlier, Stephen was saying, hey, we need a Sunday school teacher. What was it? 6 through 9? Okay. He was also saying we need somebody who's willing to lead the third Sunday worship service while he's gone, wasting his time off on some big anniversary thing. That we get to recognize there are men and women in this church. There are young people in this church who are gifted for these things. Equipped, prepared, ready. Not feeling ready, ready. Not necessarily feeling gifted, but gifted. So part of the challenge for every one of us is the recognition when there's a need in the body, I get to prayerfully say, Father, am I called and equipped to play a role in that need? And it doesn't mean that you just volunteer for everything. That's not a wise mindset that you just volunteer for everything. That's how we burn out Christians, is we guilt them into volunteering for everything. But you are gifted for something. So that your inclination is to say, Father, I'm willing. I want to be praying. Is this something I'm called to do? Is this something I'm gifted for? Not something that I feel naturally inclined to do. I was just remembering in conversation with Carrie and somebody else, I'm largely a loner. That is my natural state. I would prefer to be an introverted loner, sitting in a place someplace, drinking a cup of coffee and reading my book all day long. And if I went to a job, I'd like to just sit in a cubicle and stamp out widgets. And then maybe once a week, the boss brings my check by. That is my natural inclination. I am a natural loner. And somewhere back there, God said, doesn't matter. That's not what you're called to. That's not what you're gifted for. And so I do a variety of things that I am not naturally inclined to do. And you may not believe this. I'll go ahead and this might be way more information than you want. Every Sunday, there's a part of me that says, Father, really? Me? I go there to preach? Me? Seriously? And then I remember, and I really do, then I remember that God says, this isn't about you. This isn't about what you're comfortable with. My Spirit dwelling within you has given you a calling and a purpose and a gift. You show up and I'll do what I've gifted you to do. Amen. And that's true for every single one of us. All of you get to choose. I will show up. I will show up in the body of Christ. And then I will trust that God has gifted me for something that is valuable for building up the body of Christ in the maturity of Christ. That is a real thing. Now, I will also say this. If all you do is come to church, sit in a chair, and then go home, hibernate for 6.5 days, that'd be a really long week for you, wouldn't it? Hibernate for 6.5 days, and then come back and sit in a chair again, you are gifted, but that gift is probably not being expressed very effectively into the body. So in order for you to give this gift back to God in service, it means you get connected to people. It means you show up at a class. You show up at a Bible study. You meet someone for coffee on Thursday mornings. You go somewhere and have tea with somebody on Wednesday afternoon. You invest yourself into people's lives. And it doesn't have to be an organized activity. So I want to make that real clear. It doesn't mean you show up at events, although it might. It means your life is available for connection with other believers so that whatever God has gifted you for is being actively poured into those lives. And that our willingness before God matters to simply say, Father, I'm willing. You open doors. You show me. You lead me. You take me there. And even if it's something I'm not comfortable with, even if it's something I don't think I'm talented at, if it's your calling, I will be gifted for it. I know another young man that just recently, a very shy young man, and I've been working with his family, and he is almost painfully shy. This is one of those guys that it's really hard for him to look up and look you in the eye because he's so shy. And he just started backyard Bible clubs with one of the Hill Country Bible churches. And guess what he discovered? He showed up in willingness, and he found out that God has gifted him to evangelize children. He's already prayed with several children to receive Christ. And that doesn't mean he's now become an extrovert. It doesn't mean he got over his shyness. It doesn't mean the next time I see him, he's going to look at me in the eye and give me a hearty manshake. No, he's still that shy guy, powerfully, supernaturally, effectively equipped to touch the hearts of children with the truth of Jesus' love. So you personally get to agree with God. I'll show up. And again, it's not I'll show up for the thing, for the event. It's I'll show up in people's lives. And it might be an event. It might be a thing. It might be a meeting. But that it might simply be you meeting with one person and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you to touch something in their life that needed your presence made effective by the Holy Spirit. So we have a lot more to do on this. And we'll keep coming and proceeding through this. But the power of the Holy Spirit equips us to build each other up. I'm stronger today, and I know many of you would agree with this. You are stronger today because of other men and women in the body of Christ, and sometimes even other children in the body of Christ, who allowed the Holy Spirit to work through them in a way that strengthened you, encouraged you, took you deeper into the truth, took you deeper into a vision of God's goodness and loving Him and trusting Him. Other people played a role in getting you to where you are today. And your agreement with God gets to be, me too. I am also equipped to play that role in somebody else's life. And it might be a quiet role off to the side that nobody but you and God knows about and the people you're connecting with. It might be a public role. The issue is not what kind of role. Because like 1 Corinthians 12 says, a variety of ministries, a variety of gifts, a variety of manifestations of the Spirit, but that we get to agree with God, I am gifted to have an impact in the body of Christ, to have an impact in somebody's life, to help them grow, to help them just grow. It's not your job to finish me. It's not my job to finish you. One day, Jesus will finish us. We will be there, and we will look at each other in amazement on that day. And as you look at me and I look at you and we see the finished product, we will be amazed. But we get to be amazed now while we play a role in just helping each other grow. Let's pray together. Father, there's no way we can plumb all the depths of these truths. Even with more time, we wouldn't finish it all. But Father, we get this. Your Spirit has called us and equipped us, made us powerful for your purposes in the body of Christ. And Father, the world may never see that power. We may never look impressive to the world. We may never look effective to the world because they're looking at other things. They might be looking at careers and money and influence and eloquence and all kinds of things that we don't bring to the table. But Father, what you've given us authority to choose and agree is that we bring to the table in each other's lives the effective power of your Spirit dwelling within us to build each other up. Father, I pray that we would understand that we would take it seriously. That nobody sitting in this room who's put their faith in Jesus Christ would be content to just sit on the sidelines knowing that a powerful and effective role has been equipped for them. But that each one of us would be very humbly available and willing to say the next thing, do the next thing, be the next thing, or pursue the next thing
that allows your power to work through us to bless and strengthen and build up another believer. Father, I thank you that this is your plan. This is your plan that nobody is left out of this. Nobody is left out of this. That every joint, every part of the body, every individual part is equipped to play a role in this maturity. Help us to agree with you, Father, right now in our heart of hearts. Help us to look you in the face and agree with you that we will show up for the next thing that you call us to, whatever that is. Thank you, living God, that you're gentle with us. You're not trying to crush us. You're not trying to rush us. But you are eager to grow us in the truth of what you've made possible. Thank you, gentle, patient Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.